Now, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, he refers here in verse 1 to the previous passage of Scripture where he gives these great words of comfort concerning what's going to happen when our Lord returns to this earth, as he promised to do. What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to those that we love? Where are they now? What are they doing now? What's he doing? What's he going to do? When's he going to do it? Not so important. You see that in verse 1 here? All of what he's going to do, that's real important. That's our comfort. His promise. His promises. The promise of his gospel. That's important. But Paul puts no importance whatsoever upon the timing. You don't need to know. I don't need to talk about it. Is that clear here? I wish that was clear to me and to this world. Don't be ignorant now concerning the truth that's revealed. I don't want you to be ignorant about that. Because there's a lot of comfort in this book for the believer. A lot of comfort. But don't waste your time and don't indulge your idle curiosity concerning that which is not revealed. And that's what he's saying here. We don't know when. We don't need to know when. We know what's going to happen. You know what that is? It's just a lack of faith. That's when our children, we tell them, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When? There's no tomorrow for children, is there? There's no such thing as later. If we're not doing it right now, we're not ever going to do it. Well, that's just, they just don't believe you. That's what it is. They don't believe you. And sadly, that's how we are with God. He's promised it. By his grace, I believe what he said. And when he gets good and ready, then I'm good and ready. That's why I want to be. That's what he said. Be ready. Be ready when it is time, but don't worry about it. And you know, there's a whole lot of things in the Word of God to which this same principle applies. Rejoice in that which is revealed and quit arguing and debating and fussing and confusing everybody over that which is not clearly revealed. Just hush about it. Is there not enough that's crystal clear in the Word of God for us to rejoice over for the rest of our lives? That we've got that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What you know is that you don't know about that. They already knew what could be known concerning our Lord's return, and that is that it will be unexpected by most. That's the whole picture here of a thief coming. He doesn't come when you expect him to. He wouldn't be very successful if he did. Our Lord talked about that in Luke chapter 1. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. You know, dogmatic statements about that which can't be known, but watching, expecting, waiting, desiring. There's nothing wrong with wanting him to come now. Nothing wrong with saying, even so, Lord, come quickly, watch. And that he shall gird himself and make, watching, verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants that are know this. If the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think he's not going to come when you expect him to come. But listen, look at verse 3. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Suddenly, sudden destruction. This isn't complicated. You're not going to expect the moment that he comes, but that doesn't mean you can't be watching. You can't be prepared. You can't be, the scripture word, ready. Ready. You don't have to know the moment in order to be ready. Now, this verse 3 concerns they. You notice the words they and them. Paul doesn't talk like that in his letters to those that he's writing to. He says, you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But here it's they and them. And clearly this refers to unbelievers. He's writing to the church. But now he's talking about they and them. He has described in the previous chapter, toward the end especially, the blessedness of the Lord's coming to the believer. And how it's a comforting promise and comforting truths regarding what's going to happen to us and those that we love. But here we see that most of the people who are alive on this planet when our Lord comes back will be surprised also. With regard to the gospel, the things of God, peace and safety. We go to church, we're doing what we're supposed to do. The preachers have preached to us. Listen to what they say. Here's what God said about the false preachers of long ago, and they haven't changed. Jeremiah 8:8, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? And that's what you say when you step up in a pulpit and presume to preach the Word of God. You're saying, I've got the Word of God, the law of God, the written Word of God. And I'm going to present it to you. And I'm to be believed as though God were speaking. How do you say that? God said, lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? If you reject this book, what wisdom is in you now? You've got nothing to say to me or anybody else. You say God loves everybody. God says he hates sinners, except those in Christ. What wisdom is in you? You've rejected the word of the Lord. God says he's elected a people from the beginning, chosen them unto salvation from the beginning. They say it's up to your will. You've rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in you now? Time to shut up. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. In other words, I'm going to destroy him. And their wives are going to marry somebody else, and the stuff that they think is theirs now is not going to be there. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. Plant a seed, you know, and the Lord will bless you. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. You know what it is to heal someone? It's not going to fix the problem. It'll make you feel a little bit better. It's not going to fix the problem. And here's how they do it. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're saying peace with God. Here's what you need to do to have peace with God. And they'll lay it out for you. Imagine that. Somebody actually wants to go to heaven when they die? My goodness, you're saved. Wow. They've been sold a lie. They think there's peace with God by all the wonderful works that preachers tell them to do. Quit smoking and drinking, start reading your Bible and teach. We need somebody to teach the first grade boys Sunday school class. Would you be willing to do that? That's what they're saying to the Lord in that day. We've preached in your name. We had a job in the church. But he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what that is? This is the will of him that sent me, that you believe on his Son. That you quit your religious foolishness and bow to the Savior and lay hold of him as he's revealed in this book as the victorious, sin-conquering, soul-redeeming, champion of sinners who redeemed all for whom he shed his precious blood. And then the Lord's going to say, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, you're not entering in. And they're going to say again, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we teach the Sunday school class? Didn't we preach when the preacher was out of town? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. We put on a show. Everybody knew, you know, that we were preachers. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. All of your wonderful works are filthy rags. Oh, but look at verse 4. We can't quit there today. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness. Now, two truths are taught here. First of all, you're not in darkness. Why? Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You weren't born in the light. God had to turn it on for you. He turns it on for one, and he leaves it off for another. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it's not given. And so you're not in darkness, and they are. If God had not given it to anybody, he would have been right not to. None of us deserved it. We all deserve to stay in our darkness and suffer the consequences. But he was gracious to his chosen people and shined the light of his gospel, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon them. You are not in darkness because Christ has revealed the Father to you. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will turn the light on. You're not in darkness because the Holy Spirit has indeed taken the things of the Savior and shown them to you. You're not in darkness because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Secondly, in this verse, that day, in the sense that our Lord taught in Luke 12, will be as a thief to everybody. There is a sense. He said, I'm coming in an hour when you don't think about it. You're not going to be thinking it. You're not going to know. And in that sense, he said, it'll come as a thief in the night. To everybody in that sense. Remember verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. It's not revealed, and you're not going to know it. So just be ready all the time. Just because you don't know doesn't mean you can't be ready. Ready is having settled the issue with God of your sin, concerning your sin. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What about, Lord? Your sins are scarlet. But I'm fixing to make them white. I'm going to make them white as snow. Now you're ready. Now you're ready. Ready is serving him. Isn't that what he said? The good servant is doing his master's business. It's being about his business. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Always and looking for him. Even so, come. And if you are in this sense ready, then it will not be as a thief in the night in one sense. And Paul is revealing that here. It won't be as a thief in this sense to you. A thief comes, what? To destroy and to steal. God will take away, didn't he say, those who have not will be taken away even what they have. If you don't have the grace of God, if you don't have the gospel, if you don't have Christ in you, the hope of glory, if you're a rebel against God, even the stuff that you have in this world, I'm going to come in and take it from you like a thief. Like a thief, although it's not stealing because it's his anyway, isn't it? But like a thief, he's going to come and he's going to destroy them and take everything they think is theirs. And in a sense, what he's going to take, really in a sense, from this world, you know what he's really going to take? When he comes as a thief and that, you know what he's going to steal, quote unquote? Me and you. His sheep are the only things in this world that he has any interest in whatsoever. Did you realize that? He don't want nothing this world has. He's coming to get us. That's what he's coming for. And when he takes us, he's going to burn the house down after that. But when he takes us, it's not really stealing, is it? Because we're his also. We belong to him. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. So as Paul said here, in this sense now, not as a thief. No, he's just coming to receive his own unto himself. And I say again, and I know you say it with me in your heart if you're his, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray.